Croeso to episode 111 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Apologies for the short enforced break last week, but we're back. Maybe better than ever, but that's for you to decide. I'm Ryan, and joining me this week is Tommy Kaus. Kaus, how are you?
Very, very hot, sweating out all the alcohol from the weekend, but raring to go, right?
That's it. That's the sort of passion and energy that this podcast lacks on a weekly basis. So it's glad that we've got it today. And completing the trio, as always, is Rodri Davis. Rod, can you share that same sort of passion and energy and drive that Kaus has, or are you going to bring us down to a sort of low average?
Absolutely not am I going to share that positive energy. No, I've come off a night shift, and it's hotter than 8,000 suns outside, so I've had about an hour's sleep today. So, yeah, Weddy Blino.
Good stuff. We can't have everyone too excited.
No, so I got to drag it down a bit every now and again. Not
Where's
every
the fun
though.
In that? Well, when Kaus is down, you make up for it. It's you know, you got to help each other out. That's
we're like a bloody seesaw, aren't we? Yeah.
And I am just always at 60%, you know.
Young.
Yin, yang, and yang. There we are. Right, before we get into the football, issue 11 is out today, Wednesday, the 6th of September. And it's always a bloody good read, if I do say so myself. And it's no different this time around. We've got James Cuff's chat with Os Gwynedd and Ivan from Gwilym about how Welsh football influences music. Sôn Misra on Cardiff Dragons, Wales's first mixed-gender LGBTQ plus team. And I've written an alternative Cymru Premier preview, which I think is already aged since the time I've written it in the past 2 weeks. But that's the magic of print. And an article with Unify and Darren Chetty discussing their recent work on diversity and inclusion in the world of Welsh football. You can also read Rodri's latest Screaming Into the Void. We've got Agent Phillips's latest ramblings. There is something for everyone. We've got a great alternative travel guide to Riga by Greg Kane. For those who are making the trip this weekend, as I always say, it's the best way to support the podcast. So go get yourselves to alternativewales.com/shop and spend all your money. And if we sell out by the end of October, Rodri will do a live reading of Screaming Into the Void on the pod because I've just come up with that idea and I think it would be funny. Rod, thoughts?
I'll do a live reading of something. Maybe not that.
Rodri doing some Wordsworth on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll do a doomsday scenario for you or something. You
know. Okay, great. There we are. Yeah. Something to look forward to. Right then, talking about doomsday scenarios, let's get into the football. Wales play South Korea in a friendly on Thursday and Latvia away in a qualifier a week Monday. Well, next Monday, whatever. You know when it is if you listen to this podcast. Normally, I'd start a podcast ahead of the international break with all sorts of bells and whistles and giddiness and excitement. I think I've even sung a song about it in the past. But this time around, the general atmosphere is one of a bit of apathy, a little bit of dread, not much enthusiasm. June was particularly bad and nothing has got anyone excited since then in terms of the men's national team. Kaus, is that your general feeling ahead of these games? Do you sort of mirror the fan base?
Yeah, I have to be honest and say, yeah, it's not really... It's not an exciting time at the moment, is it? It's very unfortunate. Obviously, today, the news that Eric Ramsey as well leaving is more bad news. Not quite as bad news as seeing four goalkeepers selected.
One competitive appearance between the four of them as well. Fair play this season.
Yeah. It's a strange one, isn't it? It's a very strange one. It's just, you know, it'd be great to have two good results. And, you know, hopefully we get everyone back on board again. Even a friendly win at the moment would be massively welcome. I'm going in. I'm not feeling overly optimistic. I'm not even, for the first time in probably 10 years, I'm not even really looking forward to the international break that much. And that's a shame. So hopefully we can all just rekindle that love once again with two good results next week.
Yeah, I think you got it nailed on there, because it's been a long, long time since we've sort of approached an international break with this sort of feeling. You know, even June, obviously, we had the good results in March. Not necessarily good performances, but we had good results to sort of cling on to. The results and the performances in June were just so poor that it almost feels like a chore. And I guess unless you support Swansea, there's reasons to be cheerful about the other English, the Welsh clubs playing in England, that almost usually by the time the international break comes around, you can't wait to see the back of your club. But this time it doesn't feel like that. You know, Rod, we're seeing reports of around 7,000 tickets being sold for Thursday night's friendly. I expect probably over 10,000 in the end. We did discuss this a few months ago, but Edward Green asked on Twitter, are relatively high ticket prices or poor recent performances more to blame for the weak ticket sales for the career friendly?
Well, I think it's going to be like a cocktail of everything, really, isn't it? I do think having the game on a Thursday night's never really, like that type of night of the week, doesn't always help for attendances. And then the factor in that it's a pretty meaningless friendly. We never really do friendlies, do we, as Wales? I know Chris Coleman used to hate them. But no, I think they've massively missed the trick with the pricing. They could have got an extra 15,000 in there if only they'd have dropped it to, like, you know, a tenner, something like that. And, you know, you're making that money up then by having more people there. They're going to sell 9,000 tickets for £25. I don't do maths very well. You do the maths for me, but, you know, get 30,000 or however much the capacity is, sold for £10 each, you know. Surely that can't be far off. So I don't know. It seems like a missed trick, and you could get the kids in for really cheap. And it's a way to introduce a new generation to get more accessible games. I think it's a big misstep from them with the pricing, and it just shows. And, you know, we're paying through the roof for a lot of things these days. So you can't get on like, why aren't you coming to watch us play South Korea on a Thursday night? Are you a true fan type of rant? You can't do that because people have got fucking bills to pay, and, you know, it's a luxury just splashing out £25 to watch us probably get schooled by South Korea because they're a decent side. But I know that's overly negative of me, sorry, but it's just the way it seems at the moment. The football's not been that appealing recently, so it's no surprise.
I mean, it doesn't encourage people to travel for the game, does it? I'm like, you know, if I was still living in Cardiff, I would go just out of blind faith and loyalty. But obviously, I'm not living in Cardiff at the moment. So a Thursday night to £28, it's just, you know, even at a 10, it would have been a big ask to, you know, come from London and back and pay through the nose to do that for a friendly. So it'll be the first Wales game I'm missing for non-COVID reasons for a long, long, long time, which is a shame.
And Kausai, not a true fan.
Yeah,
boo.
Kausai, I imagine you're not making the journey either. The 4 a.m. train back to North Wales probably isn't worth it for this one.
Yeah, no, not on this occasion, maybe. No, I'm not going to either of the two games, unfortunately. So I'm looking forward to the month after and the fixtures then. But just echoing what Rod said there, spot on. Listen, you know, I think £28, yeah, it is steep. It's not the steepest. I think I look at some other nations on these islands and, you know, they're a lot more expensive than what we are. But I think that the key is what you said, Rods, is it's just a missed opportunity. Yeah. You know, you could have, you know, families who struggle on lower income and things like that, it would have been a great opportunity for them to be able to come to a game, you know, do a family ticket for £20 or something like that, you know, for an adult and two children or whatever. You just have to be a little bit cleverer. And that things like that, they secure the next generation of Wales fans, don't they? Success is the biggest thing, but let's be honest about it. It might be a tough few years. We're going to need to keep the fans on board this friendly isn't doing that, unfortunately. We have missed a trick, and it's just a shame. It's such an obvious thing that we're saying. And you know, the FAW have never been so well off financially. Now, I know they have to continue to keep bringing money in, but yeah, you know, the way you do that is by securing the next generation of fans. And yeah, we're not doing that.
I mean, you know, you could have even got away with moving this friendly to a Swansea or a Llanelli and maybe still charging a similar price, but you get that local crowd in because there's almost a novelty of it there. And I mean, there was a lot of talk again about ticket prices because the Gibraltar tickets came out for Wrexham and that's £28. And I mean, that game will likely sell out at the racecourse just because the appetite for football in North Wales and international football hasn't been there for so long. It would probably sell out at £28, but, you know, we're playing in the Cardiff City Stadium. It's going to be, you know, likely be less than a third full. It's just, why not move it and go and play it, you know, down west somewhere? We've got the Stadia there, so it's you know, why not do that? Yeah.
It's either or, really, isn't it? They've kind of gone the halfway job of messing both factors up. So, learn for next time, I think. I hope someone's listening, because whoever makes them decisions, because, you know, it's glaringly obvious what they should do.
Yeah.
If they want to sell tickets for that price, like you said, take it somewhere else where you're going to get a different crowd in from people who wouldn't be willing to travel to Cardiff but might come from, say, Pembrokeshire to Swansea or Llanelli, say. Mm. Something like that. But, you know.
Right, yeah. Anyway, on to the actual football then. Last week's squad announcement failed to get anyone's heart rate up. More negativity, really, following that. There was probably a hunger from the fan base for some new faces, maybe someone we can sort of get excited about. You know, Ryan Hedges has been playing well in the Championship. You know, even Will Evans smashed them in League Two. But no sign of either of them. You know, we've seen the likes of Ollie Cooper and Luke Harris as regulars in the previous squads, and they haven't really had a chance, you know, to play much. And now we've finally got a friendly. They're nowhere to be seen in the squad, which seems weird to me. So I think that squad announcement and everything surrounding it just sort of shows how unsettled and the fan base is, and just sort of how stale everything's got around the international team at the moment.
The four goalkeepers thing, I don't like to be overly critical of Robert Page. He's getting enough stick from other quarters at the moment, but it's just so nonsensical to me. I just can't see the logic behind it whatsoever. Ryan Hedges as well, he's a name we've mentioned so many times on here. I just don't quite understand some of the logic behind some of those selections. And I sort of get, you know, for example, Reuben Colwell's dropped down to the 21s. I sort of understand that, you know, to give him, you know, the more minutes in an international setting as possible. I just wasn't bowled over that. And it's a bit like my emotions towards these two games, I'm sorry to say, is that I just struggling to get excited about it at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that under-21 squad seemed a lot more exciting. And there's probably a few names in there that I would have liked to have seen have a run in the senior team. And I mean, like, you know, someone like Reuben Colwell has dropped down in the previous windows and has done well. He's sort of slowly but surely getting more into the picture of Cardiff. Would have been good to get him back in the senior squad for a friendly. You know, Charlie Savage is another name that's been mentioned, you know, finally playing first team football for Reading. I think Eddie Beach is a highly rated goalkeeper at Chelsea. He seems to be the only goalkeeping prospect we've got outside of the lads in the first team. You know,
get the fifth goalkeeper in the squad.
We're all aging and not playing any football, so it feels like, why not give him a go? But I think the feeling is there's two important qualifiers for the 21s. So it's like, why waste them in the senior squad this time around and focus on getting results there? So I sort of give them the benefit of the doubt for that. But when that 21s squad came out, it just felt like there was a little bit more interest and intrigue about some of the names in there. And I would have liked to have seen them get a chance in the first team, you know, and taking the likes of Joe Morel and Kiefer Moore, who can't play at Latvia.
Yeah.
I guess keep them around the squad, great. But yeah, it just feels a bit strange to not have them in. They can play in the friendly.
Yeah, but can they not pop along and not be involved in the squad, but just come down from game day or something?
And
what they're doing.
even just come and train, and rather than taking up the places in the squad, I guess.
I don't know. It must be something to do with a club release or something. But I think that was the one that pissed me off more than the goalkeepers, to be honest with you. It's the picking players who can't even play in the important qualifying game when you've got a friendly where you could try some of them new faces. And I get Morel, maybe we haven't got a hell of a lot of depth in either, like, as an out-and-out striker or centre-mid. But like you said, the Charlie Savage, I believe he's a centre midfielder.
Mm.
You've got a couple of young strikers coming through now, like Luke Harris, and who's the other one? Never mind. So someone I'm thinking of. Anyway, yeah. And you could give him a chance, just instead of picking players who aren't available for the one important fixture in this window. So I think that was the one that got my gears, really. I can understand, like, the likes of Hedges maybe not being picked because he's playing in a similar position to where we're probably the strongest, like down the wings and down, like, attacking... attacking right and left. We've got quite good depth there, I think. So just unfortunate we keep producing good players in all in the same position, really, and where we're crying out for, like, a goal scorer or a couple of central midfielders, maybe.
Well, Dan James misses out through injury.
Yeah.
David Brooks, obviously, is in the squad. He's playing, he's scoring goals. So I feel like it's going to be a big window for him. I'm looking forward to seeing him. But on to the South Korea game itself. Kaus, what would you consider a successful game from that South Korea friendly? Is it a result? Is it a performance? Is it, like, individual performances? What do you think?
I think a team performance. I think we've got to try and, you know, yeah, he should absolutely, give some players some minutes as well. But just see some sort of structure, some sort of... You know, those last two games were quite shambolic, really, especially the home game in the last window. We want to see a bit of a return. I sort of feel like this year, the Croatia result has papered over so many cracks, and the writing's been on the wall, really. Tactically, we haven't looked like a very good side for a long time. And, you know, we looked like a really, really naive outfit at international level in that Armenia game. So yeah, just I'd like to see us. You know, I'm not expecting free-flowing, entertaining football. I've got to say that. But I'd just like to see us be a bit more solid. We're up against a good side. If we play well and we lose narrowly, you know, like a 2-1 or something, I'd be happy enough with that. I just want to see, be good to see the likes of Brooks back in a red shirt again. And I think just, it'd be good to see a couple of the young lads maybe get a few minutes. Be great to see them perform. But yeah, let's just have a bit of shape to our game and you know, just not... like giving away stupid goals. I mean, it was absolutely infuriating in that last window. That's what I'm looking forward to from that South Korea game. And yeah, as I say, it's a friendly, so the result doesn't really matter. But, you know, at the same time, a bad defeat, it's not going to do Paige any favours, is it?
What do you think he's going to be doing but with the goalkeepers then? Do you think he's going to be experimenting like three goalkeepers in one game or something? Because
in one game. That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Is Roger Freestone going to get another look in?
I guess, I mean, like, the apparently Hennessy isn't fit enough. So they brought in he probably won't even make the benches in both games. You've got to have three keepers in the squad. So, I mean, I don't even know who starts for me at this point, because Danny Ward, I mean, what is he, about fourth choice at Leicester at the moment? Not even near the first team.
The Championship Leicester, and he can't get in the match team squad. So that,
Tom King is the third keeper at Wolves. Never really, I don't, maybe he might have had a cap, not entirely sure. Obviously, Hennessy, doubtful. And then there's Adam Davis, who's the only one with a senior appearance this season in the Carabao. A couple of weeks ago, I think he kept a clean sheet but lost on penalties to Lincoln, so that's really positive. I guess that's the man you go with, at least for the friendly, because Danny Ward didn't cover himself in glory necessarily in June. Do you think Adam Davis is the obvious choice, Rod?
Not when it comes to Paige, I don't think. I think Danny Ward will be his go-to if Hennessy's not fit. But for the friendly, I'd say, yeah, go with Adam Davis and maybe give Tom King a second half or last half hour or something just to try them out because, you know, we're going to... If Danny Ward's happy to take the money and not be in the squad at Leicester, I can't imagine he is. He probably wants to be at least the second choice somewhere so we can play cup games at least. But you can't have a fourth choice keeper being your number one for your country, I don't think, long term anyway. So I think we're going to have to look quite like beyond this qualifying campaign now in the goalkeeping situation. And if Danny Ward's not going to be getting any game time at all, you know, he can't be our number one, in my opinion. It's just personal opinion. So
give Glyn Garner a go. That's what I say.
Yeah, get Glenn Leather and then back in. A little bit.
I mean, to be fair, there was a few people calling for George Ratcliffe, the Ponty keeper, former Cardiff, to have a go, which genuinely, as a third-choice keeper, why not? You know, the lad's young. He's had a great season so far at the Cymru Premier level. He was highly thought of, had a few injuries. Maybe this is for Mike Harris, call him up, you know?
We've all played Football Manager, and that's what I used to do as Wales manager for the friendlies, drafting all the... Cymru Prem players, or get someone in from Newcastle Emlyn or something. You know?
Why not? Yeah, yeah. Isn't it? Exactly. Fuck around and find out.
That's it.
Why not? Kaus, in terms of personnel and who we'd like to see, I think in terms of rotating the team, there's not massive options, but I think South Korea game is a bit of a dress rehearsal for Jordan James, who's probably going to have to start against Latvia, considering how thin we are on the ground of sort of more defensive midfielders, you know, after Aaron Ramsey clearly not working there and Joe Morel's injury. Do you think it's sort of a big game, a big window for Jordan James?
Yeah, I think it's a great chance for him, isn't it? It's going back to what I said before, right? I think it's a really difficult time. Because you've got this situation where, in normal circumstances, when, you know, for the last God knows how long, how many years, when we've been doing well, we've been ticking over and we've been getting results on a regular basis, you'd use this game to really blood some young lads. And this is what I'm saying, though, Robert Page, it's very difficult for him. I don't envy him at all because he's under pressure now. There's no getting away from that. And you know, friendly or not, yes, you know, we should be looking to the future and playing these youngsters, but it could turn very... If we, for example, if we had a hiding from South Korea, it could be very, very ugly, couldn't it? So I don't know. I mean, you know, there's lads who have been there or thereabouts in the squad. I think Sheehan's come back in. It's been a while since he's been involved, I think, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time. I think he had a bad injury, didn't he? I think he might have done an ACL or something along them lines, which has kept him out for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Morgan Fox, has he been playing for QPR recently? I don't really know.
I think he has off the top of my head. And they've had a better season than they thought they were going to have. So, I mean, he's a left-sided centre-back, which I think buys him a bit of grace. So that's probably why he's in there. And obviously Sheehan's playing for Bolton, who are... You know, at the top half of League One, so that's sort of the level of player we're looking at the moment, isn't it?
It's incredible, really, that Tom Lockyer is back involved. You know, it's only a few months, isn't it, since
pulled out today, as of
recording. Did he? Oh, yeah, I missed that.
Injured, I think he missed.
Yeah, I saw he was injured on the weekend, didn't he?
I think he missed a couple of Friday night. Yeah, I think he got injured against Chelsea maybe a couple of weeks ago, which is a shame because I think he probably was looking at a start. But there we are.
I've got to say as well, you know. I'm not a big fan of a certain football club, but yeah, Rabbi Matondo's been playing quite well this year. So, you know, he's come into the squad now, hasn't he? So maybe, you know, maybe good to see him get a good run out for Wales. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think with Dan James missing, he's the ideal guy to come in, speed merchant.
I did watch both of the... PSV is third Champions League qualifying round games against that other Glasgow side, just because I wanted to see them get tuned. And I got to say, Rabbi Matondo looks really lively. So I'm a bit excited that he's kind of finding some form. And obviously, I don't want him to find form club level too much, but unless he gets a transfer. But yes,
he'd be a like-for-like replacement, Rod, in the speedboat with no driver role.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's Dan James is. Yeah, he can dribble past five players and boot it into Rose Ed. But yeah, I always thought there's something about Matondo. If he can work on his, you know, his end product and his kind of overall kind of, you know, a bit, well, what's the reading of the game kind of thing. There's something raw talent in him, and his ability to dribble with the ball and his pace can be an asset, like we've seen with Dan James, even if he's infuriatingly frustrating with his finishing or crossing. His pace causes all sorts of problems for defenses. Yeah. So, you know, if you can get someone like that to stretch sides, then I was just surprised he wasn't included in the first place. But then, I don't know. I kind of see what Page is doing. He's kind of doing the same Southgate's doing with England. Mm. They're trying to create a club environment, picking the same sort of players for every squad. But then, you know, you're closing it off to some players who are hitting form, and it's not always the right thing. You've got to chop and change a few players now and again, I think.
Yes, it's a blend, isn't it, of sort of that core squad and bringing in, you know, and not to get into England, but, you know, the likes of people like Calvin Phillips not getting a minute and getting called up.
Yeah, well, that's
makes a bit of a mess of it. And that's the same. There's a few lads in our squad, especially the keepers, who just aren't playing football. And it's like, well, why are we calling them up? You know, when there's lads out there playing at sometimes even a higher level.
Yeah, and even good minutes. You know, you're getting calls for Will Evans and people like that. And as much as people say, oh, he's playing League Two or whatever, he's playing regularly. Mm. And some of these players who are playing for Premier League or Championship sides who aren't starting aren't playing. So, you know, what's better? Being like a squad player at a high level or playing regularly, slightly lower down? I don't know.
Yeah, that is the age-old question.
Text us your thoughts and feelings.
but one person who is playing well, is the captain, Aaron Ramsey. For the first time in a long time, I feel like we're getting a proper Aaron Ramsey. He was doing the press conference on Monday, which is today as we're speaking, and he was saying, like, feels like a weight has been lifted off his shoulders. He's happy. He scored twice a card if he's playing well. But more importantly, he's playing in the 10, behind the striker, doing what Aaron Ramsey does best, you know, dictating the tempo, you know, passing the ball around, making goals, scoring goals, late runs into the box. Will Page play him as a defensive midfielder on Monday in Latvia, Kaus?
In the last international window, I don't know where he was playing Aaron Ramsey, to be honest. I don't know what position he was playing in because he was all over the place. I suspect he'll play him more defensively. Yeah, I do, which is a shame. But then, you know, in a game such as this, maybe, you know, I say such as this, such as these two, I think maybe... you know, maybe it's better to have Ramsey in a deeper role and just where he can be more of an influence, perhaps. I honestly don't know. Page's scattergun approach to tactics, you know, could throw out anything, I think. So who knows, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's no hiding the fact that June was a disaster. And obviously Latvia is the important game in this break. And it's going to be very difficult to qualify from the group from this point. There's still hope. I think we'll have to win all of the games and maybe rely on a couple of others' results. But we, you know, first and foremost, we need to win in Latvia on Monday night. Ethan Davis said on Twitter, if the results doesn't go our way, is Rod Page on borrowed time? Rod, I think it's as simple as that, isn't he? I mean, he is on borrowed time at the moment, I think. And I think a bad result in Latvia, or anything other than a win, and I think he can't stay in the job, can he?
I wouldn't just sack him for the sake of sacking him if we haven't got a plan.
Mm.
So that's another thing to factor in. You know, if we lose in Latvia, we've fucked for qualifying out of the group. So whether you use that last few months, give him the rest of the group campaign, and get the recruitment right for the next guy, if that's their thinking, or just sack him and get someone in, like, and play the kids, that type of approach, just like a caretaker role for the last few games. But I don't know, it's just, I think the time to change it could have been after the Armenia game, because it's gone stale with Page since the first game of the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got any doubts about him, and you know, if you're basing his entire future on this Latvia game now, it shows that they've had doubts before now. So I don't know. I don't think it would be great timing because all these games are coming thick and fast now. So I think they've made their decision to stick with him for the rest of the year at least. And
yeah, that's a good point, actually. Is obviously we're in this period of time now where there's an international break every month for 3 months and it's crunch time in the group. The time to sack him was June, wasn't it?
I still think he's got the players on board as well. I still think the players like him. So do you wanna cause more turmoil and you know there's a lot of factors to consider, I think, when there's decisions like this to make. And like we've all three of us have said, summer was the time if you're gonna make that change. I think they can't make it now until after the November fixtures. I think would be the earliest we'd see a change now. At least we get battered in Latvia.
Yeah.
Then I think they'll have no option, but yeah.
I just think the thing with not changing, if we lose in Latvia, we're not going to qualify from the group. And we've got that playoff then in March.
Yeah.
Why give Paige the rest of that campaign and then sack him in November and then get a new man in for March? What we need to be doing, if we do lose in Latvia, which definitely could happen, you know, they're not the great side, but based on our current form and our history in Eastern Europe, you know, it's not a given we go and get a result there.
They're not great, but they're not shit either. They don't get tuned much.
No, exactly. I don't think so. You know, I mean, we struggled at home against them. I just think if we do lose that game, I think we've got to then just bring someone in and give them those October and November games, which are essentially a free hit. Once we're out of the group, we're out of the group. It doesn't matter if we finish fifth or we finish third. It doesn't really matter because we've got that playoff. Like, and then build towards a playoff and use them games as a build-up for the playoffs. Because I just think if you sack him in November, which, you know, if he doesn't qualify out of this group, then I think he should go. I'm not saying he should go now. I'm probably leaning more towards Paige out than I am Paige in. I just think he didn't learn from the mistakes of the World Cup. I just think sooner rather than later and letting someone build towards March is probably the way to go.
I agree with all that, but that's coming back to my point, is why have they waited till now and make it like come down to the Latvia game? Because if there's that serious doubt about him and they were even considering a change, then they've missed their chance to do that now, I think, until the end of the year. But, you know, we'll see. Hopefully we'll win 3-0. We can shut up about it.
Exactly. Kaus, what do you think of the whole Paige situation?
Oh, I'm going to have to be careful now.
there's nothing, large sigh there.
Yeah, nothing that says he's going to put the world to rights, then start the sentence with the...
I put my neck on the line. I put my head on the chopping block and all these other cliches that you like. Can we put that in? It would be nice if Al Ittihad came in for Robert Paige. That'd be quite nice.
FAW could start charging £1 for tickets then. With all the money they compensated.
I did feel after the games in the summer, it wasn't just an overnight thing. That they were two very bad results, and two, especially that Armenia performance was just so worrying. It was all over the place, but that was that had been coming for a long time. As I say, you know that. We haven't played well in any of the games so far, even though we got a result in Croatia. Great result. You can't take that away from Robert Paige, but we were very fortunate to get a result there. And he made subs, if you remember, I think with 25 minutes to go, thinking, we'll take a 1-0 loss and we go on to, you know, to plan for Tuesday, which you know, it paid off. Don't get me wrong, but that was almost like a bonus point, really. Now, I wrote an article sort of saying it was time for him to go after the summer, and I had a few people from other publications saying, "Oh, fair play, you're saying what we're thinking." I was thinking, well, I don't think it was that controversial an opinion at the time, and I still stand by it now. I was a big supporter of Pages before the World Cup. He got a lot of stick, if you remember rightly, before the World Cup for the squad selection, especially from Swansea fans. And, you know, I stuck by him then, and you know, I felt he probably deserved us, you know, he definitely deserved our support going into the World Cup. The World Cup was probably as bad as it could have gone. I've got to be honest about that.
Yeah.
And since then, I've seen nothing to suggest that there's been any improvement or we've learned from our mistakes. I think we've been found wanting tactically in most, if not all, the games. So, yeah, I'm just a little bit, at the moment, I'm a little bit disillusioned in the direction we're going. And, yeah, I would certainly be looking to make a change. But, you know, I'm a realist as well. The FAW don't want to be paying out massive fees and they've given him a 4-year contract, right or wrong. I think it was wrong to give him 4 years. I think I called it at the time as well. I think we were all a bit sceptical about 4 years, weren't we? Mm. I think too, you know, what's wrong with giving a 2-year deal? I think that would have been fine. But yeah, we are where we are. And unfortunately, I don't see him going anytime soon. I don't like saying that. That's not a nice way of putting it, but I don't see him going anytime soon, and I'm just a little bit worried that we're going to really fall off. And you know, if we do manage to get a playoff through the Nations League, we'll be going into it with no momentum whatsoever, and they're going to be tough games. So, yeah, I'm quite worried at the moment. I really hope that this window will give me something to be a bit more optimistic about. But yeah, I don't really see it coming. I can just see two losses, really.
Wow, there we are. Well, let's hope that this time...
I wish that Nibiru thing happened then.
Hey, listen, I hope the Fanta's good in Latvia. That's all I can say, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's hope in the next podcast we're talking about how wrong we were about Page and the Page Masterclass in Latvia.
10-year contract extension.
Yeah, exactly. Four more years.
Four more years.
But obviously, as you just hinted at, Kaus, fuck the football, as always. It's all about the trip. Latvia, you can't really ask much better for a Wales away venue. The weather's looking good. You know, the beer's looking cheap. You can shoot guns there. I'm going... Can't wait.
Rod, in Florida.
Yeah, really true. 4 more years. Rod will be there. Rod, what are you most looking forward to about your trip to Latvia on the weekend? Is it the ATM start to get, or the ATM arrival in Stansted on Friday?
Yeah, either that or getting my hand on a Luger when I get out to Riga. No, so, you know, the trips are separate to the football, really, aren't they? And I'm always looking forward to going to somewhere I've never been before. So it's going to be a hell of a effort just to get to Stansted at 8 a.m. on Friday, which is ridiculous. You know, sometimes when you see these cheap flights, you don't factor in how fucking awkward you've made it for yourself. But there we are. Once I'm there, airport pints, and we'll be away there, won't we? So, looking forward to it. And we had a look at the weather yesterday, didn't we? And I think it's looking about the same as it is here today. So, mid-20s, sunshine. And hopefully a lot of joviality.
Joviality. I think that's the first time the word's been used on the podcast.
I'm not sure I'm going to be shooting again myself, but... If that's what you get up to, then have a laugh in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There we are. Have a laugh in it. To everyone going, have a laugh in it. I think that's wise words. unfortunately, we don't really have enough time to get into the nitty-gritty of the club game, even though we've missed a podcast last week. But I think everything broadly went to form this weekend. Everything sort of the same as it's been all season. Will Evans scored again. Cardiff City threw away a lead. Swansea still can't buy a win. Merthyr smashed someone this time in the FA Cup, which is great to see. But the only thing that went against the grain was Wrexham only had one goal in their match, which is novel. And plenty of Premier League's catch up on as well. I think we've had two, three game weeks probably since the last time we spoke about the Cymru Premier. Kaus, you can pick one thing from what I've just mentioned to talk about. What do you want to talk about from the club game? Is there anything that's caught in your eye over the last 2 weeks?
James McLean. um, Yeah, sorry, mate. I'm going to have to be selfish and talk about Wrexham beating
Bournemouth. Yeah, Bournemouth. I mean, I don't know why I expected anything else. I was hoping you'd pull out something random, but there we are.
No, sorry about that. No, James McLean was absolutely awesome. Wrexham were fantastic. Should have won 4 or 5-0. And Tranmere's cop was full of mice by the sounds of it. So yeah. absolutely no noise coming from that end whatsoever. So we'll call that a successful weekend, I think, right?
Yeah.
Mice.
Well, hopefully a turning point for Wrexham, because it hasn't been the most straightforward of starts. And I feel like we've probably got to say Merthyr Town absolutely fucking hammering everyone every week in League and Cup. So fair play to them. And a big shout out to, is it Pingu, who was on Call Rob a couple of weeks ago and used the analogy of ET being dead in the river to describe Merthyr Town, which was just the greatest Call Rob.
Best phone-in call ever.
Yeah. Friend of the pod, Lewis Moore, was the caller, and Pingu hijacked it. Just talk about aliens. And I think I saw on Twitter today that their annual fancy dress day on New Year's Day is going to be extraterrestrial themed. So I'm looking forward to seeing the photos on that.
Me and Couch should probably go along to that then.
Yeah.
and as well, I tell you what a time to be a Merthyr fan, by the way. Yeah. Big crowds, you know, they're absolutely loving it. Great away days that they're having. And yeah, fair play to him. The best scram in UK football as well.
Yeah,
the old sausage and chips and curry sauce in a cob, superb.
And it makes you think: should they join the Cymru leagues?
Yes, it does.
Here we go.
Not going to get into it.
Ryan Mouth.
Yeah. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. Everyone will be happy either way. Right. Let's talk to Adrian Phillips next. We're no doubt he will give us more joy and jovialness. I don't know, whatever the word was Rodri used.
Not fatality, isn't it?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Phillips next. Adrian Phillips, are you there?
Give me joy in my heart. Keep me gambling. Give me joy in my heart, I pray. Give me you get the gist of it.
Yeah.
We've joined the church league.
Okay.
Ah. What's
the gambling got to do with any of it?
So gamblers, the words I mean. Well, I had to fit. The boys were not happy with some of the traditional singing, so I had to fit the words in to something they would like or something like that. But yeah, we played our first game on the weekend in the church league.
Yeah. How'd you get on?
We won 24-0 against Abergorky Presbyterian Rovers.
Oh dear. Good start.
Yeah, well, football team, isn't it? So 24-0 because we were 12-0 up after half hour because their Saturday service overran. So they only started with 6 players. Yeah, I don't think it's leagues for us, to be honest with you.
No, is there a league for you, Phillips? That's the real big question.
I'll come on to that later now.
Yeah.
We had a new player signed on transfer deadline, Trezor Gamble. He had a good game.
That was a bit of a gamble then, was it?
Yeah. Sticking to a theme. But it should have been a lot more. Believe it or not, 24-0, and we should have had more. But the crossbow's made of a rope.
Yeah.
So we had to play behind the vestry in Abergorky Presbyterian Church.
What's the rope got to do with it not being more goals?
The local pastor or whatever he called himself, and doubled up as a ref. He couldn't tell if it hit the rope. It was either in or out, wasn't it? It's like primary school rules.
Yeah.
But you know, so yeah. Hayden Breadknife played well in midfield.
Buttery, was he?
Yeah.
He was spreading the ball out wide all the time.
That's the one.
There you go.
That's the one.
Buttery.
I couldn't think of it.
Yeah.
Very buttery performance. I'm sure the that's London talk, isn't it?
Yeah, Christ.
Yeah, we know you sit down here.
No, I know. Buttery.
It's a very buttery performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll stick that out. Hope Wales play buttery well on this. Anyway, so Lampwick, Rhys and Glanmore Dosk, some assists, but bad news for you boys.
Oh, God,
Will Fainis was escorted from the field by South Wales police during the game. It was a 10-minute delay. Yeah. Something to do with a disc cutter or petrol grinder in Pontypridd town centre. I mean, he must have done something bad because he's been in the nick since.
I won't ask.
And then, so I give you the good news first, now the bad news.
What? You said it was bad news?
He's got more bad news.
Yeah, there's more bad news. We've been investigated by the Church League for not actually being a church team.
So how did you get away with coming in into the league as a church? The Church of Phillips?
I just lied.
Yeah,
I mean,
some horrible cult.
Yeah.
To be fair, the church has got a good record of lying.
Red Allen bought a collar on Amazon and then just go away with it, like
Yeah, just classic.
Hanging around the streets as if with a Quran, I think he had. I didn't think he didn't do RE in school, did he? I might have to wind the club up and go back to being a successful agent.
Agent, go back to being a successful agent.
Yeah, are you trying to say I wasn't?
And I'm just leaving that up to interpretation.
Reason, the whole reason you started a club is because you couldn't get players at any clubs, so you had to make your own. So
There is that. My goal was to get in the Adran leagues to eventually take over Europe.
Mm.
Now I'm playing against Abergorky Presbyterian Rovers with a rope crossbar. So. It's admin that lets me down, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, there's a lot of things that let you down, I reckon.
Yeah, a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to wind the club up because too many people are. Well, I'm in for a lot of money, and I'll have to pay back, the Central African Cement Company their money and stuff. So we'll see it out for a bit.
Aiden Bread Knife keeps up his silky smooth front battery displays midfield as well. It'll be a pleasure to watch him.
He did look quite sharp, to be fair.
Butter knives aren't sharp, though. Yeah, bread knives even. No, bread knives are. Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking about butter knives.
Serrated, aren't they?
Completely got it wrong.
I bet you'll say a player called Tony Serrated next week or something.
Well, I've been looking at a goalkeeper along the lines of that from Zimbabwe, but.
international experience.
Yeah, but and then we'll get Chris Hamm at the left back, and then and then
Jimmy pickled onions at the back.
Yeah,
right, you've got to fucking work on this, mate.
Jimmy pickled onions, good guy.
I don't know him personally. Is he unattached? He can have a game next week.
He's a bit acidic or something. I don't know. Fuck it.
We've got
Hasidic. He fit in the religious
league. Well, we're playing Bryn Mawr Buddhist Centre next weekend.
A lot of Buddhists in Bryn Mawr, is there?
Apparently so, but I don't know if that'd be on or not.
So the Church League is a multi-faith thing, is it?
Yeah, it's church in the loosest form of the word, I mean.
Interesting league.
Yeah. Religion league, they should call it, isn't it?
No wonder your violent cult is allowed in it.
Yeah, I don't know either. Anyway, just plodding along. I don't know. I've got an appeal in with the FAW.
Mm.
So I'm trying to get back in the Adran leagues, but I think we have to catch up too many games, I think.
So you're getting the hint there.
You know the
Adran League. You realise the Adran League is the women's league, don't you? You know that, don't you?
You've been saying that the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah, Adran. Yeah. I meant the Cymru South, didn't I?
No, you meant the Ardal.
Oh, yeah, Adran. Oh, yeah. They're similar words, aren't they?
They are similar words. I've made that mistake in the past. Don't worry.
Brazilian bloke who got on trial.
Did he play for Leeds, that guy?
Yeah.
The
flopping fish bloke.
Yeah. And he got sacked from Chelsea as well, didn't he?
Adrian Grant.
Adrian Mutu.
Oh, dear.
Anyway. Oh, dear. Yeah, so I won't be joining the Adrad leagues. I'll be joining the Aradal League.
You won't be joining either, mate.
No,
probably not, but we'll give it a go.
There we are.
Failing that, we'll hammer Bryn Mawr Buddhist Centre if they turn up.
Good, good stuff, Phillips. Yeah. Anything else?
Any truth in the rumour you're trying to sign a player from Pentyrch Protestants? So is that bollocks?
No, the Celtic fans in the league wouldn't have it.
Have you got a name yet?
No.
No, okay. There we are.
No.
Just thought I'd check.
No name.
He's got a name for his religion, though. Philipsology.
Want to join?
Yeah.
Send cash.
He always finds these leagues where none of the requirements are you have to have a name for your team.
Yeah.
Just let you in. No name.
Administrative nightmare for everything he joins. Yeah.
They just say Phillips boys. Oh, Phillips boys, come on to kick off. Stuff like that.
In Phillips, obviously, in issue 11, we've got sort of like an update from you or a sort of a get to know your club. And I've got it in front of me, and people will have received hopefully their copies by the time they listen to the podcast. It says team name, insert team name here. So obviously you haven't got that first one right.
I had to do something, I forgot, sorry.
And then nickname, the chances. So you've got a nickname, but you haven't got a team name, which is a real interesting way of running a football club.
But for nickname, see a collective term for the bunch of people I hang around with.
Yeah.
So I just, they are a bunch of chances. And that's what most football clubs call us when we go to their ground.
Yeah.
Look at a bunch of chances coming here. And they do say worse things, but I won't say it on the wireless, whatever. Yeah. So, if anyone is bothered to find out about my football team that is going from strength to strength, buy issue 11.
There we are. Nice work.
Please. I received no money from this, and I also didn't receive any money from that JT Fish Pass sponsorship deal last week.
Well, you're gonna have to do a job on the place, then, aren't you?
Yeah. No, I'm not gonna admit to that. I'm with this, am I? Something will happen.
Well, right.
Got choir practice for the boys.
Got more minds to influence.
Sing for Phillips. Sing for Phillips.
Welcome back to part two. Thanks for sticking around after Phillips's nonsense. It is much appreciated. We're back with more buttery goodness. Right. we'll start with our game. And of course, this week we're going back to the last time we played in Latvia, August the 18th, 2004. Back when there was that weird international break that we had like two games into the season. What a fucking weird idea that was. but yeah, Wales won 2-0 in a friendly. And if the two of you had anything about you, you would have known I was going to pick this game and you should have done some research.
Nope.
But I very much doubt that happened.
Research?
Research. What research? And in an interesting change of pace here, I've got a coin to flip for a change.
Good God.
Yeah. 2 pence, believe it or not. That's how...
can't believe it. It's not better.
Oh, dear. Right. Kaus, I think you won last time, didn't you?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Yes, I did, mate. I was off the mark last time, mate.
So you can choose heads or tails, and you can choose whether you go first if you win. Heads or tails, Kaus? Oh.
I'll go for tails, please, mate.
No problem. It is tails. Annoyingly, it's three feathers as well. Shouldn't have chose that coin. But there we are. So, Kaus, would you like to go first or second for Wales 2, Latvia 0, August 18th, 2004?
Ooh, I'll go first, please.
Go first. There we are. All right, kick us off then, Cows, please.
I will go for... Fucking hell, this is a tough one, this, because this was... This was like the crossover period between Hughes and Tosh, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it would have been. I think it would have been Tosh, wouldn't it? Because I think no, it wouldn't have been. It would have been Hughes because it would have just been after. Because he did a bit of that following campaign, didn't he? After failing to qualify.
Yeah, he had the first first couple of windows in. I think it was like September and October, didn't he? So yeah, I'm gonna go. I mean, surely he was playing because he never missed a game. Gary Speed.
Correct. Good start. It's worth remembering about Mark Hughes still being in charge, because if he wasn't in charge, that would we'd lose a lot of players, a lot of options. Rod, what do you think?
Was going to go left field, but try and be sensible for the first few. Robbie Savage.
Correct. One all. One all. Nice. Kaus.
Ooh, Paul Jones.
Correct. Good start. 2-1. Rod, can you go punch for punch with Tommy Kaus?
I'm going to go...
Ooh, tense.
Who was I thinking just now?
I lost it.
I don't know. Someone buttery, probably, I'd imagine.
I'll lure back it in, mate.
Who had a buttery
lure pack and Dombele or something like that?
Bellamy.
Correct. To all. Kaus.
That's a really good shout,
Bellamy. Once you get through the first four, this is where it gets really interesting, because we're over halfway
we've
through.
We've never gone this far, have we?
I don't think we have we? Simon Davis.
No.
Oh, you're joking.
He's not in the starting lineup. I don't think he was on the bench either, from what I can see. He didn't come on anyway. Right, Rod, to win it. Can you nick it?
Mark Delaney.
Correct. Well done, Rod.
Do you know what? As soon as you said Davis was wrong, I was thinking should have gone Delaney.
Yeah.
Mate.
To be fair, it's quite a strong team for an August friendly.
Did we win 2-0?
Yeah, and they just played in Euro 2004 as well. So they weren't a bad side at the time. Paul Jones, Mark Delaney, Andy Melville, Rob Page, Ben Thatcher, Jason Kumas, Mark Pembridge, Robbie Savage, Gary Speed, Craig Bellamy, John Hartson. So a pretty solid.
Vlagan Adejdin's playing for Latvia.
Yes, he was. Oleg Blagan Adejdin.
Stepanovs.
No Stepanovs.
Pahas.
No Pahas either. So good maybe.
That's all I know now.
Yeah. Well, we maybe should have done the Latvian team. That's the trick there. James Collins, Mark Crossley, Andy Johnson, Gareth Roberts, Gareth Taylor, and Carl Robinson came off the bench. So there we are. Back to your game. Well done, Rod. I'm going to have to go back and collate the scores for this, I think, because I feel like we need to keep a running total. Otherwise, what's the fucking point in any of this? but what is the point in any of this? I don't know. We'll crack on. We've got
Point of anything.
Yeah, we've got a load of questions to get through. We'll get through the football-related ones first before we get on to the nonsense. Nick Webb, friend of the pod, living rap legend, says, how many goalkeepers do you think Rob Page should have picked? He has a poll below. Currently, after 13 votes, 7 goalkeepers is winning with 92.3% of the votes. I'm sure we all concur on that one. Yeah. David Collis says, is Brennan Johnson our biggest fee since Gareth Bale? We haven't spoken about this. Yes, it is, because I think he's the second most expensive Welshman ever. Brennan Johnson moving to Spurs this week. Rod, good move, bad move? What do you reckon?
Good move, I think. Big fan of Ange Postecoglou. He did a great job at Celtic and the way they played football, and I think he's kind of getting that thing across at Spurs, and I think he'll be using Brennan Johnson quite a lot, I'd imagine, eventually. So, and I'd imagine he's looked at him in a similar mould that Kyogo he had at Celtic. He's a similar sort of live wire, pacey attacker. So, yeah, let's hope it works out well for him. But I think we'll have to be patient getting game time there. But,
yeah,
good move, good move. It's always nice to see one of our more talented players get a move to a top-tier side, really. Yeah,
and I'm a bit more pleased about it. But now that Andrew's in charge, if he'd gone when Conte was I thought it would have been a disastrous move. But all the same,
well, look
good
what
move.
Happened to Rodon. And...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dan James got a Man United at the wrong time. But it feels like it's the right time to make that move. He's had a year in the Premier League. He's played well. And he's gone to a good progressive club. He also says, David Collis, with Brooks backfiring and Johnson maybe our best player, plus Wilson, Dan James, Moore, Ramsey in attack. Are the next few years make or break on a good centre mid coming through? Kaus, we've talked about this plenty, the lack of depth in centre midfield, not replacing Joe Allen. You know, I think he's right in saying that we've got all this talent in attack, but it's pointless having it if we haven't got that talent in centre midfield. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. But I mean, that's the beauty and that's the difficulty of international football, isn't it? You don't have any real control. I mean, you know, you can talk about blooding youngsters and giving them a go in the first team, but you know, really, it's in club football where these players improve, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can give them the exposure and experience at international level, but they've got to do their business at club football in the first place to get in there. So yeah, I mean, you know, fingers crossed. That I always think as well that there'll be a player who comes out of nowhere and just does better than you ever thought possible. So that's what you're always hanging on to. I think it's going to be, you know, I'm feeling very, very pessimistic. I've been so pessimistic. I have to apologise to everyone tonight, but it just feels like it could be a tough few years for us anyway. So, you know, it's always a roller coaster with being a Wales fan. So let's just enjoy it.
To
paraphrase Ronan Keating there, sorry about that.
Yeah, basically, I think we need an Allen replacement because I think someone alongside Ampadu, because he's been playing well for Leeds this season. And I think if he gets someone like reliable and technically as on a similar level to Allen, then we're sorted because we can handle having the likes of Morel in reserve. But when you're relying on them to start every game, it's, you know, But there we are. I don't know. Can we magic someone up? I don't know.
It'll bring out the best in Aaron Ramsey in his later years as well, having two solid defenders behind him as
defensive midfielders.
You know, as we've seen at Cardiff this season. Had a few ticket price questions off Chris Peplow and friend of the pod, Meg and Feringer. Although I did like that she says, does the current £25 range make you want to stick your head in a jar of sand? Kaus, does it make you want to stick your head in a jar of sand? And would you do it for the podcast?
Good stuff. Why not?
Great.
Get the sand. You provide the sand, mate, you know, with all your London money.
God. Oh, dear.
Yeah, we can't afford all this, you know, upper class stuff like sand around here.
But we forgot about this sort of fucking nonsense you were spouting on the last time we had a podcast. Anyway. Right. I think we've covered ticket prices enough. Thank you for your questions, though. Do appreciate it, as always. Any other cool football questions? No. Right, on to the important stuff. Will Davis says, do you reckon you could beat up King Jong-un? Rod, can you beat up King Jong-un?
No chance.
Good. Okay. Kaus, what do you reckon?
We'll get close to the guy.
I don't know. He looks like a seasoned operator, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. Maybe I'd be able to get a couple of hooks on him, but you know, I'd be more preoccupied by him like nuking my family.
And his dad was clearly a very talented sportsman. You know, he had a 18 hole in ones. So
in a row.
Yeah, so with that talent running in the family, I wouldn't back myself in any sort of duel with a big man.
There we are. No is the answer to your question, Will, but thank you anyway. Do you reckon you could beat up Kim Jong-un? Please let us know on Twitter. Right.
Please let us know on 0800.
Yeah.
This week's call-in.
Agent Durham.
Andrew Dowling, how many custard creams do you reckon you could eat in one sitting? Rod, finish off. I would.
Easy. That was my big factor in me gaining weight as a teenager is custard creams around my mum Gee's house after school. I used to regularly get through at least 7 or 8, but I had to stop myself. I could have carried on forever. I still beat them now. I go as far as 450.
Okay, in one sitting.
In one sitting, yeah
decent, good stuff. Kaus, what about you?
Yeah, very, very conservative estimate from Rodri then. my report card when I was, coming through the ranks at Barcelona Football Club.
Was
they said if it wasn't for my addiction to custard creams, I would, they were going to let Messi go. Custard creams.
Remember that well.
Custard creams and heroin were my downfalls. I could go toe to toe with Rodri. I'm going to go 4-5-1.
Okay, there we are. I was clean of custard creams for a long, long, long time.
Not the heroin, though, right?
When I had the old leg surgery last year, and obviously you've got to do it fasted, don't you? And I sort of, whatever, I think it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I hadn't eaten. I got woken back up about 6-7 o'clock, and I got woken up by the nurse who gave me a custard cream, and it just changed everything. I've just been chasing that first high ever since. But I've changed it for something a bit more buttery now. Right, I'm going to have to retire the buttery stuff, I think.
That's your next. You could have a pay-per-view stream there for me and Kaus, custard cream off.
Yeah.
Coming soon, yeah.
For patrons only.
Yeah, just no talking, just me and Kaus eating on camera for about 4 hours.
Pay-per-view, what are we saying, $19.99? I reckon
people
pay that
one. Yeah, easy. Get in touch with the Sky Box office, yeah.
I'll put it in the list of ideas now under Tops Off Pod for our patron. When we start a patron, which probably will never happen. A serious question-ish. Matthew Davis says, off to the Rugby World Cup this week. Brackets, sorry. Don't apologise, Matt. You do you. I've seen the bucket hat creeping in. I won't wear it at the rugby. It feels wrong. But he says, is it okay to wear as part of a modern Welsh identity? Or is it Welsh football identity only? He does say he refuses to wear the daffodil atrocity. So what hat should he wear? Kaus, it's probably an interesting wider question. The sort of, what is the modern Welsh identity? And I think it goes to, as far to say that football has become such a major part of Welsh life that the bucket hat probably is part of the modern Welsh identity, not just the football identity. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. But, yeah, absolutely. Wear whatever you like. I always say that. Wear whatever makes you feel comfortable. But and my concern is I don't think the bucket hat would go too well with the flared jeans and brown shoes combo at rugby. So yeah, that's my only concern. No, I've seen a friend of mine who's a big rugby fan. He goes to all the football and rugby games, and he always wears his bucket hat to go to the rugby as well. So yeah, no, absolutely. I do think ever since it's come in, it's become a Welsh thing. Even my mum, who's got no interest in football, has asked me, where can I get one of those bucket hats? So, it's a Welsh thing now, isn't it? So yeah, go for it. I think it'd be great because, when I first started watching or at least going regularly to watch Wales football down in Cardiff, you'd see a hell of a lot of rugby shirts there, some that you never see anymore.
Yeah.
So maybe it's going the other way now. I mean, you see the odd football shirt at the rugby now, don't you? So I think, maybe it's gone the other way. But yeah, as you said, right, you do you.
You do you, exactly.
Yeah, don't apologise. I'll be watching the rugby. You are allowed to like different sports than you. So.
I won't. I'm a one-sport man. I'm one sport man. Will not watch anything else ever.
I expect to be kicked off the pod for that admission.
No, no. Just do what you fucking want, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. That's what I say.
with a suggestion for hats, just don't culturally appropriate anyone. That'll be my suggestion.
I think that's a safe, that's a safe thing to say, regardless. Yeah. On the subject of hats, for those going to Latvia, if you do read issue 11, if you order it before you go to Latvia, you can find out all about the World of Hats Museum, which is in Latvia, in Riga, which is a museum celebrating all the different kinds of headwear from around the world, which was started by an eccentric Russian hat collector. So there's 300 head garments there. So that might be one, if you're bored in Latvia, to go and visit. It's also funny, this is called the World of Hat Museum rather than the World of Hats. Just a single hat, even though there's over 300.
World of Hat.
Yeah, World of Hat, indeed. Mike says, got a question. I think it's a chant. Do you think Rob Page had a dream to ruin the national team? He had no strikers, so he played with four in the nets. Four in the nets. Pick all the same lads. Pick all the same lads. Watch out, San Marino. We're on our way back. Don't think it's going to catch on, but don't mind the effort. Fair play, Mike. Appreciate it. What else haven't we done? Alan Marsh, friend of the pod. Podfather, even. He's more than a friend. Yeah. He's my bloody dad.
Very Partridge of you there. He's my bloody dad.
Not only is he a bloody good friend, he's also my father.
He says, there are many of us here in Wales who look forward to our independence, Independence Day. Every empire eventually falls, and the British Empire will be no exception. What year did Latvia gain their independence? Anyone want to take a little
guess? Be early 90s, wouldn't it, with the Soviet Union falling? So
I was going to say 91.
Just for the sake of it, I'll go 92 then.
Don't have the answer a second, bear with me. When did Latvia?
I think Kaus probably more right there.
21st of August, 1991.
Yeah, there we are.
Yeah, we are. Lithuania were first in 1990. And then everyone else fell after that, I think. So there we are. Here's a good one. Lady Pixie, did anything actually make you smile last week? After 2 weeks ago, we were asked what made us smile, and we all found it very difficult to answer. Rod, did anything make you smile in the last week?
Why have you come to me first? I'm struggling.
You're a smiley guy, Rod.
Yeah. Waking up alive. Good. That always makes me smile. It's always a bonus. Lots of things. Lots of things.
Do you actually wake up and smile and go, I've survived another one?
Yeah, well, you never know, do you? Can't count your chickens. Every day's a blessing.
So true.
Just crack on and smile. You got to smile through everything.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know.
What made you smile?
Yeah.
There was something deeply profound about Rod's analogy. Yeah. Just got to smile through it all. Yeah. Blessing and a curse, this life, isn't it?
Yeah.
What made me that? I was smiling on Saturday after the football. Yeah, I was very happy with that. What else was I smiling about? I do smile quite a lot. I do. Yeah. You know, I like a good smile. I like a good laugh. I do enjoy a laugh. That's one of the best. One of my favourite things in life is to laugh, I think.
Yeah. It's nice to have a laugh.
Yeah.
I think what they should ask us next is what's made us sad, because I can pinpoint them more, because they're more... You know, I know what makes me sad, because I'm generally quite happy, whether it comes across on the pod or not, but I'm always smiling.
There we are. That makes me smile, Rod. That makes me smile. Paul Byrne says, why does it warm up when the kids go back to school? Did bring a smile to my face knowing that school started again. Makes you think indeed. But Paul, probably not the right pod to ask that to.
Nah, Pfizer.
I don't know if... old Brockway might have a podcast that he'll probably be able to answer that. Maybe we'll get him on one day. I'd like that.
Matt Letizia has probably got some thoughts on that. Yeah, yeah. Government lasers or something.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
why not? Right, finishing off on Boosh is question. Here he is. Bop, ba, bodder, bop. Bebop, bop, bodder, bop, bop, ba, bodder. I am the scat man. Jazzed up scat, scat man, John. Nothing to do with poo, apparently, he's added.
Yeah.
In the last few Sundays, I get home from work and play with Tally in the garden. I've been subjected to live jazz from the pub next door. Do you like jazz? No, is my answer. Anyone else?
No, yeah. it's a bit all over the place for me. Not for me at all. But yeah, you know, it's probably.
I think it's too broad to just say jazz. There's different types of jazz. I do like. Yeah. There's a saxophone bloke I listened to before. I got into some of his music. Really good, and I think that counts as jazz. I don't know. I don't mind it. You know, the free jazz that goes a bit insane is a bit daft.
Yeah,
that's kind of a daft lads project, but it's acid jazz. You've got jazz funk. I think there's some good jazz out there. Brecken jazz is usually good.
Jazz Richards.
I like Jazz Richards, and Jazzy Jeff as well.
Jazzy Jeff
I like as well. No, not jazz as such, but I do like talk about like. Saxophone and stuff like that. I really like my ska music. So, you know, when they play like bass instruments on stuff like that, I really like that sort of music. But no, not jazz. Not for me, really. Are we keeping you up, right?
Yeah. Right. It's been a long pod. It's a pleasure to discuss.
Jazz mags. Do you like jazz mags?
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, let's wrap it up. We've gone on long enough. I won't keep anyone else too long.
What about jazz hands? Do you like jazz
hands? There we are. For those who
are... Right. That was excellent podcasting.
Yeah, really good podcasting. Of me and Rod on camera did jazz hands. As he said, jazz hands for anyone listening. If you can't see us, which none of you can because we don't release it as a video.
Can't even see Kousy's in the cave again.
No, yeah. I think Kousy might be AI at this point because there's no... I've never seen him on video, but there we are.
You good for the pod, Kousy? Yes, I am, yeah.
I think it knows you so well that you're still a little bit late regardless of whether it's AI or not.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Well, I'm just glad you show up, Kous. I'm glad you show up.
Yeah.
That's all that matters to me. Right, to finish off then, I'll pick a track to play this week, and it comes recommended by friend of the pod, Andrew Dowlin. It's How'd I Get So Low by his friend, Tom Orton. So that'll play us out. And that just leaves me to say thank you for listening. Thank you to Kous and Rodri for participating. Thank you to Butter. And please buy issue 11 if you haven't already. And those who have already, thank you. Buy another one. Give it to your dog. I don't know. Kous, any closing statements from you?
If you can't, remember, if you can't afford the fanzine, just buy some butter. Just, you know, keep your local. Buy local butter as well. That's another big thing.
Make your own butter.
Make your own butter.
Yeah, make your own butter. I've been doing that for a fair old while now.
But, oh, dear.
We'll leave it there, shall we?
Yeah, definitely. Rod, any closing statements from you?
Yeah, just buy the fanzine and get on that jazz train out to Latvia. I'll see you all out there. And keep on churning.
Keep on churning indeed. Right, thanks again, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be back after the international break to hopefully talk about some positive stuff in for the men's senior team. This is How'd I Get So Low by Tom Orton. Diolch yn fawr. Goodbye. See you in Latvia. Keep on churning. Is it true? Did I climb to the top for a backseat? Feel can change the status quo.